We are so excited today to be speaking with Darby Dame about her pivot personally and professionally as her camp moved from a traditional summer camp to family retreats. Darby speaks so intentionally and with incredible passion about her experiences this summer, from connecting with families, learning to cook, and spending time with loved ones. Sit with us as we dive in and connect today with Darby.
Welcome to Beyond Camp, a podcast for summer camp directors and leaders by Go Camp Pro. Beyond Camp explores the intersection of camp and the rest of our lives. Camp professionals know that all aspects of our lives affect our camp experience, and Beyond Camp is here to dive into the messy, brave, and joyous conversations that surround that fact. Check out our show notes at gocamp.pro/beyondcamp.
Beyond Camp is brought to you by the American Camp Association, Illinois, sending thousands of children from economically disadvantaged households to camp and providing intentional services and programs to today's diverse camp professionals is at the core of the American Camp Association, Illinois' mission. Learn more about upcoming programs by visiting acail.org.
Welcome to Beyond Camp, where we explore the intersection of camp in our lives. For too long, we as camp professionals have referred to camp as being in the bubble, or in a bubble where we separate camp from real life. And we're here to burst that bubble today with you. We all know that camp intersects with every aspect of our lives, and we're excited to delve into those. We're your hosts, Rachel Kent. My pronouns are she, her.
And I'm Cassie Bloy. My pronouns are also she, her.
And we're excited to go beyond camp with you. As a friendly reminder, please subscribe to the podcast wherever you're listening today. And be sure to check out the show notes at gocamp.pro/beyondcamp. Now, let's get started. Today, we are thrilled to be hosting Darby Dame, who is the Director of Communications and Marketing at Camp High Rocks. Darby is actively involved in camping in Western North Carolina, and she leads the welcoming committee for the Women in Camp Summit, where we first met Darby. Darby is also the communication chair of the Local Council of Leaders for ACA Southeastern, and is actively involved in Kids in Camp, a nonprofit organization that sends Transylvania County students to summer camp. Darby, welcome. We're so excited to have you.
Thank you. I'm so excited. After listening for many weeks, it's a thrill to actually be on.
Fabulous. It's been really exciting to host so many folks that we have met through Women in Camping. It really speaks to the movement there, which as our listeners know, we're big fans of. To get started today, I'd love to hear about your journey into full-time camping.
Oh, I got really lucky. I know it's hard work too, but luck played a part in my role. I grew up going to camp. I actually live on the camp I grew up going to. What a dream, right? You never left camp. And so I grew up in Brevard, North Carolina, where I currently work, and came back here for an alumni reunion one summer and was like, I need to stay. And the camp I currently work at, Camp High Rocks, is hiring fall program workers. I was like, well, that. Yeah, I'm in. And so I worked their fall programs and secretly got interviewed by our camp director, Townsend, at a lunch. She sat down with me and secretly interviewed me. I had no clue till 3 years later. And they said, hey, we need an office manager. Would you like to stay on? And I said, I mean, what else do you say? Like, heck yes. At the time, you're like, yes, anything you want to offer me. Like, I'm here. Is it free? Is it paid? I don't care. And I was in and hooked, and I have changed my role from office manager, but still do a lot of that core work as well, and have managed the dream. I've now been there, it's almost five years, we were counting it up today.
Good for you. And I'm so glad that you clarified what secretly interviewed meant, because I like had quite a few like things rolling through my head. Like, did they just take like different snippets of conversations you had and be like, oh yes, Darby would be a good fit. I love that though. So you just like had a conversation with you and that was your interview.
Like 2 years later, she told me, she was like, yeah, one day you were at lunch, you were eating early, and I sat down with you. It was just you and I, and asked you about your future and your plans. I have no recollection of this conversation, and it was my interview.
That's amazing. And what's your role now?
So now I am Director of Marketing and Communications. So do most of our email marketing, all of our social media, most of our parent communication forms, and then all the office stuff as well. But that is, once you get the hang of it, moving on to communications and marketing was really my steam.
Right on.
That's amazing. I'm really just enthralled by this invisible secret interview concept and wondering how I can use that in my day-to-day life now of like, how can I start secretly interviewing staff for other roles?
But don't tell them that or they'll be terrified to speak to you every time.
They might be not scared enough right now, so.
All right. You can report back in a few episodes.
For sure. So, Darby, you guys ended up doing a family program this summer, correct?
Yes, family retreats, as we call them.
Wonderful. Can you tell us kind of about that, what that, how you ended up at that result for your summer 2020?
Yeah, so to start off, we have, we're an all-boys camp, typically that runs 3, 4 week, 2 week, and now 1 week session. And we knew, as a group, we decided that was pretty much off the table for us. We were not comfortable with it and knew that other camps were going to do it successfully, but didn't feel that we could in the short amount of time we had. And we had done last Labor Day a family camp where I think 40 families came to camp and we had fireworks shows and we took all the kids in the morning and there was activities. So we had run one family program before and it was a blast. I mean, we said that was maybe the highlight of summer 2019 was family. So when thinking, okay, if camp's not on, there needs to be some revenue stream and we just need something to do. Like it's the summer, we needed something to do. Family retreats kind of popped up. We avoided calling it camp because we wanted them to be pretty sure that it was not camp.
I love that.
Yeah, we wanted to be really intentional with like, this is not really going to look like what you think of when you send your camper to camp. So family retreats it was, and doing it once before made it an easy switch for us. While it looked different, knowing kind of what parents were expecting allowed us to like jump from camp, take a week or two, and then decide family retreats was our next step.
What a neat way of protecting your initial brand as well around like camp and then creating like a whole second revenue stream with its own unique brand. I think that's brilliant.
It helped us set up expectations, you know, just from the start of like, we're not going to family camp, we're going to family retreats. This is a retreat center, you know, which I think you, to me, and we hope to our families, you identify it slightly differently than camp.
Right on. That's fantastic. And I know I remember you being so excited about that because you and I were connected through Slack, through the COVID-19 Slack group when you were like going through this transition. I remember you being super excited about the retreat section. So that's fantastic. Leading up to that though, because it must have taken you a little while to get there, how did you deal with the uncertainty of what was going to happen next?
I think there was more uncertainty before we knew we were closing the camp section of camp. After that, it felt more, we were creating a new program, so there was more opportunity, less uncertainty, and more, we get to build something from scratch here that there's no preset, this is how it normally runs. So the uncertainty really came before we decided to close camp.
That makes sense. How did you cope with that uncertainty? Because like it's huge. We all know we sort of like live for the summer, right? So how did you walk yourself through that?
To be honest, a lot of tears.
Mm-hmm. Fair. We love honesty here at Beyond Camp.
Yeah. There was a week of just, I think every night, you know, you think there's just tears and that is so normal and felt very odd because normally tears like that don't happen because of camp. like, you know, that's not where you typically associate that much sadness and that much loss. Normally camp you gain from and you're, so that was an interesting difference. I think really didn't cope with it till we had a decision. There was not a lot of way to make the stress go away or make it better till there was a final decision and knowing that knowing that I thought it was the right decision. I thought we came to, for us, it was the right decision for our camp to close. Not for every camp, for sure, but for us, we believed it was. I think gave us a lot of peace knowing we had a direction.
That makes a lot of sense. And I like what you said there about this is the right decision for us. And that's what we, Cassie and I, have said many times on this mm-hmm. show, is that it's important that you are making the decision that's best for you and that you're living out that decision that you feel strongly about. And I just wanted to touch on, I absolutely loved when you said it was really hard because there's a disconnect because we don't usually associate so much sadness and loss with camp. And what a unique perspective. And I hadn't really considered that, you know, camp is not usually a place that causes us great hurt. Like we cry often, like at the end of the summer, let's say, because we're sad that we're leaving, but there's all these like wonderful memories that we hold dear to us. And I imagine that that like juxtaposition of camp and hurt and sadness and grief together is really hard for folks. So thanks so much for bringing that up.
I also think it'll be hard because if you didn't run this summer, that's kind of what's sticking with you right now. You know, while there's hope for the future and we should have hope for next summer, right now you didn't get to end camp on that positive note. Even though it's sad, you're crying at campfire, it's because you just had a wonderful summer. And I wonder how that's going to change attitudes going into next summer and just our mindset.
Exactly.
I think of that in terms of being laid off from camping and not currently working in a role that's directly related to camping. My last taste of camping was the pandemic and like having to like close everything down really quickly and then moving on. And I haven't considered how that will affect my view of camping to look back on. And it's certainly not my organization's fault or anything like that. It just is sort of the state of the world created these really unique circumstances. Unprecedented, some might say, I suppose.
Yeah, I definitely really align with that of like, I haven't even really had that chance in the last couple of weeks to think about summer's ending soon. And how do I really feel about that when I didn't have camp and with transitioning into new roles and such, it's just kind of been like almost, I feel like I've almost buried it and like kind of pushed it aside.
So it hit me like a wall of bricks yesterday or the day before, I will say, that I've realized that it's the end of the summer and like camp actually isn't happening. Like here in Ontario, it's starting to get a little bit cooler. You know, it's not cold yet, but it's definitely getting cooler. You can tell. And all of a sudden I was like, wow, an entire summer has actually passed without camp. So I have lots of feelings about it and I'm sure we'll dive into it in the future. But for sure, I think that this is like an important transition point that we're going to have to dive into.
Yeah. Talking about transitions, Darby, you made some transitions this summer. What was a shift for you this year?
The biggest shift was I got sunburnt more often.
Okay, hold on. That seems interesting. You are the communications and marketing, what sounds like more of an office job.
Yes. Typically an office job, I get out to run the camp store and help out in the kitchen, typically. But this summer, and one of the silver linings of this summer was running family retreats. We ran it with our 10 full-time staff and two other seasonal staff members. So it meant all hands on deck. I lifeguarded for 4 hours a day for 4 weeks. Learned more about sunscreen, but it was a... It was a big shift and a really positive one. I think one of the things you hear often from camp directors is, I wish I got outside more. I wish I wasn't mm-hmm. in my office more. And my job really is in the office. And I love my job. I do not regret it. But being out in the sun is a definite positive. And I would say a silver lining was that all of us, every single director, executive director, maintenance director, we were all just outside cleaning the toilets, you know, lifeguarding, cleaning the PFDs, and it allowed us so much more time. We felt more like a counselor role this summer, and what a silver lining to, on a summer that's not so great, to get back out in the field way more than you were expecting.
Yeah, that's just, I love that. And I don't, as like somebody who's been in that director role, like you're always like, oh man, like I wish I could be out on the ground all the time. And it's really interesting to hear that you guys actually had that happen. Do you think that's changed your perspective on camping?
I don't know if it has changed my perspective on camping. It has probably confirmed my belief in how much I love parents. I know that is maybe the opposite of what many directors, people who work in anywhere with parents would say. And maybe it's just the families who chose to live in no air conditioning in a cabin with the potential for snakes that I love. But being out and about and getting to interact with parents that normally it's just an opening or closing day and they're pretty focused on their kids, reasonably so, was, I don't know if it made a shift, but it definitely increased a love for the parents we are fortunate enough to have.
Family camping is really unique. We used to run it. So we have a long weekend in August. And so we would take that week and we would split it in two and we would have two back-to-back family camps like in a typical summer. And while it certainly brings different stress with it, especially I found like as a young director, I was always like, oh my goodness, like people are going to look at me and be like, we know you're only like 25 and you know, you should be much older. But all that aside, I do think it's incredible in a world where we're so busy and our time is so important. And like, so just like pulled in different directions, it's really neat to be able to provide families an opportunity to just spend time together. And I always thought that that was like really, really special to see families who are valuing spending that time together, you know, often away from screens, like out of the city, has always been really cool.
We had small story. We had a family who mom and two kids came up. They both have been campers for about 5 years at least. One is slightly older and they had been on a beach vacation about 2 weeks beforehand for 2 weeks. And they came to camp for our week family retreat. And at the end, the mom was like, this was so much better. Up at camp, the kids get along. They don't fight. They love it here. They like spending time with each other and they like spending time with me. We will treasure this for years to come. And I think family retreats and camp in general allows for that different family mentality that you might not see in a normal vacation, because especially if you have returning campers, there's a difference at camp. There's a different way we ask you to act and treat each other.
Yeah, that's so special to be able to share some of that community with folks who aren't always there. It's fantastic. And what a great way to also like share your camp's mission with people. Like obviously your parents who are sending their kids to camp know what camp is all about all the time, right? Because they're sending their kids, so they believe in it, but how they get to live it out. And does that not make them like the greatest ambassadors of your camp to be able to be like, wow, I was there and like I got to experience sort of some of that magic of
it. This marketing director was hyped about it.
I love it. I can't wait to see what you do with that next year. So sounds fantastic. Family retreats went well. You love the families. They loved you. That's fantastic. Here at Beyond Camp, we like to talk about some of the tougher things. So let's get into that. I'm curious as to what has caused you the most stress during this time. And let's start with professionally.
Professionally, the most stress. I think especially in my role as communications and marketing, we, during COVID and deciding to cancel, the communication behind that was incredibly difficult. Way the Slack community, the Facebook group, you two made it way easier, but it still was very difficult. I personally have not done communications through a crisis like this before or anything similar. A lot of people, I don't think a lot of people have, but that was making sure that we got it as right as we could. We know we are not going to be perfect, but making sure that people understood why we were making the choices we did and being mindful. I think stress for us was that multiple camps in our area ran. They went for the summer. They had a successful summer. And during our communication, we wanted to make sure we were not throwing them under the bus. You know, we wanted to make sure they're doing it because they feel safe and we're doing it for these, not doing it for these reasons.
That's wonderful. And that's so important. I think what makes the camp community and the camp industry so special is our desire to build each other up. And I like what you said there about trying to get things as right as we could. And I think that we need to take some of that pressure off of ourselves. Nobody is going to get this quote unquote right. Like, we're in a global pandemic. We don't have like recent years' data to look back on to be like, how did we do this last time? So we're trying to do it as right as we can. And we need to give ourselves and each other sort of that grace to understand that. So we went with the professional. Let's go a little bit deeper. What about personally? What was really stressful for you through all of this?
So this is a combination of professional and personal, but I think, and this is so small, but it's so big. Food was very stressful for me, knowing that typically through camp, I get fed from March till October. Oh. And like meals at camp that I am not cooking. Mm-hmm. That honestly, not having that was a huge stressor. Just realizing that during COVID-19, where cooking already is a pretty big part of your day, and you're not, you know, I'm not going out to restaurants. The stressor of knowing that I would be cooking a lot more this summer. I'm not a good cook.
That's fair. I feel like I've hit the summer and I was like, so what do people eat when it's really hot outside? So my grilling skills have really improved because I was like, oh, people barbecue and not just like mass quantities of like hamburgers. Like you can grill something other than like 200 hamburgers at the same time. So that was kind of neat. But that's really unique. And I think that that's really important. Like these things that we take for granted as part of our routines, all of a sudden aren't there. Has there been an unexpected stress for you?
I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know if it's now turned into not unexpected because it's just part of COVID. Or maybe if it's all unexpected because COVID was unexpected.
Fair.
It's not an answer. And I don't know if I have an answer for you for that one.
No, that's reasonable. I can appreciate that. It sounds like maybe the food thing was almost unexpected in itself because I remember hearing you at the Women in Camp. They hosted the Wake for What Was. And I remember you talking about that, about the camp food. And I was like, oh, I hadn't considered that. It's like one of those things that you're just used to. I found myself missing like the bad camp coffee. And I don't know why, because I don't love camp coffee. But I was like, I miss being able to like wander and half asleep and like the coffee was made in there.
Yeah, no, quite honestly, like it's a struggle today. Like you guys weren't on the call yet here, but Matt saw me starting to eat my lunch, which was ice cream, because that's all I have right now. Like grocery shopping, working a job that doesn't provide food for you, like it's weird. And like, if you aren't on your game and you're learning to restructure and re-routine, it's hard. So yeah, eat ice cream for lunch one day. It's fun.
I'm living off peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for lunch today, like the past month.
Oh, awesome. Love it. So we've talked a little bit about your stresses this summer, but I kind of want to know about your identity as a camp professional. How has that changed this year?
I wouldn't actually have said it had changed too much till I listened to y'all's podcast on camp identity, you know, your identity at camp. And while I still wouldn't say it has changed a lot, listening to your, if you haven't, listeners, if you haven't, go back and listen.
Well, I realized, toss it in the show notes as well,
yes,
for you.
I'll toss it in the show notes. I realized that just like you guys, most of my identity is a camp person. My Instagram, I'm pretty sure, bio is like, probably at camp. That's what it says. So I think listening to y'all's podcast helped me realize I need some more words that aren't just camp when I identify myself and what I tell people what I believe in myself. So I'm not quite sure I've changed, if my camp identity has changed, but through listening to y'all's podcast, I realized I need to, not necessarily need to create a new identity, but I need to start identifying what that actually is. It's not just camp. It's there. I just can't name it yet.
That's fantastic that you sort of came to that realization. And I think that that's something slightly positive that's come out of this tough time, and I don't want to put words in your mouth and take away from the feelings of that loss of identity, because that's also super valid. But I think we've talked a lot about here, and I know I feel the importance of exploring other parts of our identity. And sometimes that's hard to do, and sometimes we aren't forced, like we have to be forced to do that. We're not forced to do it until the circumstances are less than ideal. I think this conversation about identity is just so important, and we're really excited to get back into this conversation with you, Darby, and hear more about how the summer has affected you, changed you, not changed you, and all the goodness that comes with that. And we'll be right back after this quick ad break.
Camps work hard to serve their camp staff, campers, families, and their communities. Let ACA Illinois serve you. During the pandemic, staying connected to camp can be a challenge. Whether you are furloughed, laid off, or if you're still working at camp, ACA Illinois is here to keep you connected. Attend one of their courses, join the Women in Camp community, or hop on one of their drop-ins and fill your camp cup with what you need to be your best camp professional self. For Rachel and I, being part of the Women in Camp community has been a fantastic way for us to stay connected during the pandemic. From attending virtual bingo to the Wait for What Was, ACA Illinois' support of these events has been invaluable. We look forward to continuing to stay connected through another fantastic virtual event ACA Illinois is hosting in December, the Virtual Women in Camp Summit from December 2nd to 4th, 2020. This won't be an event you will want to miss out on. Learn more about their work at acail.org. All right, so we are going to pick back up here talking with Darby about how this summer has affected her and some of the things she's felt. So Darby, can you tell us a little bit how this summer has affected your relationships? Let's start with professional relationships.
Well, as you guys heard me mention before, we were out, you know, doing the counselor things way more often this summer than in the office. And I think as a team, it rejuvenated us in a different way than a normal summer would. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so much sadness to this summer, but so much positive for us that we were actually able to go lifeguard or play a game of basketball with a camper. So professionally, we have about 10 of us full time, and we were able to get a lot closer. And we're very fortunate that our offices, we have enough doors and enough bathrooms and enough entrances that we can all actually be in the office without being together. We live in an old house, or like our office is in a house. So It allows us that there wasn't a lot of time apart. And I, as a group who went through communication during, like trying to figure that out through this time, we were just able to go closer.
Did it present any conflicts with you all being close all the time?
No, we were still like socially distant from each other. To make that clear, we were still pretty socially distant from each other. I think everyone in this office has pretty much worked together for over 5 years. Like I'm the latest hire for them 5 years ago. So the communication and the understanding of where people are, especially COVID day to day, like today is a good day, today is a bad day, today is a day I'm just not feeling anything. I think there's zero hope in the world. You know, we're able to play off of, we understand just by like looking at someone or how a few quick words go, how their day is, which helps, especially when you can, even if you're social distant, you can see them from afar. Allowed us that there really wasn't too much tension. It's a good crew. I'm very fortunate.
It does sound like you're really lucky and like a really established team, which can bring a lot of, you know, sense of security and awareness of each other's needs through this time as well. And you're able to like see it before they need to say it as well, I feel.
Yes, I think that is a great way to phrase it, Cassie.
So there's so much that we've learned through all of this, through like relationships, working with people. We often call it the roller coaster here. I'm curious, in 10 years, when you look back on this summer, what do you hope you're going to remember?
I hope I remember, I think there's a few things. But I hope one of them is that we made the right decision for us and other camps made the right decision for themselves and being at peace with our decision. And 10 years from now, still being at peace with that. I know we'll have more information. I mean, we have more information now than in June, and I know we'll have more, but I hope I'm still at peace with it. And I hope I've learned, I think just through this time, I hope I look back 10 years from now and really enjoy the personal time I've got to spend with my fiance. We got engaged the week before everything shut down, February 29th. So we've gotten to spend a lot of quality time together, and it's gone really well, remarkably that's well. Good. Yeah. So that's a very fortunate thing. And I think getting to spend he knows what he's getting into, marrying me. I made him work at camp one summer just to make sure it was going to work out, that he liked camp and that camp liked him, and it did. So I think looking back on it, I hope I appreciate and hope I remember that getting to spend way more time with him this summer.
I love that. That's incredible. I made him work at camp just to see if this was going to work out. My partner also worked it with me at camp for many years, and we often said that it's been like an excellent test drive for our relationship, because we faced challenges that we don't imagine like most couples our age have faced without children. We can dive into that in the future. But yeah, I love that. I also think it's interesting what you said about, you know, we have so much more information now than we had in June. And I think that that's a really challenging thing for folks right now, is the fact that we're used to having all the data and all the information we could ever want at our fingertips. Like, you can Google anything. I'm the person who, in a conversation, if there's like something unknown, I'm like, you know who will know? Google. Let's look it up right now. Like, we have this ability. And so I think it's really been tough on a lot of people who are used to having that data, that we just don't have it now. Nobody knows. And you couldn't make a decision in June about now, or in April about July, because things were changing so quickly, and it's slowed down a little bit. But I think it's that unknown and lack of information is still really hard.
I think it's slowed down for camps, but it's so increased for schools. So it's, while one area might slow down on like, we don't need quite as much information right at this point, there's always going to be another area that is bumping up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great point. And I know some of us are in the midst of school reopening and about to face that. And I think in the same way that camps were able to extend each other a lot of grace and friendship and encouragement in making the right choice, I hope we're able to do that as well. When we're looking at our camper families and staff as they look to make some challenging decisions about schools, that we're able to support them in making the decision that's truest for themselves. So all that being said, and you've said some incredible things, Darby, I'm really curious as to how you think we could be intentional in our role modeling of how we handled ourselves this summer. I know that we weren't working with kids or staff in the ways that we often would, but I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
For us, I think a lot of our role modeling and the way we can continue to be intentional, and this is coming from my marketing brain, is our social media. It seems so small, but what we're posting on there, especially over the summer, is very much conveying to our parents what the kind of people we are at Camp High Rocks and the place, what's our mission. I think right now where we can't be in person with each other, and there's a Zoom there's a lot of it. And so the place we can be in front of them is social media. I think role modeling, you know, depending on your county, role modeling social distancing, role modeling masks. And this summer, that was, you know, we made the pretty conscious decision not to post large group photos from summer 2019. Even though we were not running this summer, that was part of we're trying to role model. That's not the right thing to do right now. And it depends on your county and where you are. But to me, that is a huge section of where we can be role modeling in a time where we can't be with people.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And you seem like you're really mission oriented, your camp and your role at the camp. How do you think you have conveyed your camp's mission through your social media this summer in light of COVID?
I think, and for us, and this is part of the reason why we chose to cancel, our mission is to keep one of them is to keep our campers safe and healthy. And for us, canceling was the way we were going to do that the best. And explaining that over social media was a was a definite, like, our vision is this, and thus we have decided to, like, one of the reasons we have decided to cancel, and helping people see that it wasn't, you know, there are many reasons behind why you cancel, but that mission was also one of the large drivers. And a lot of that comes across in just how you're conveying your message on social media. But I think that, and to me, parent quotes, this is so small, but parent quotes so often catch the mission even better than you can. And so we've been doing some parent quotes throughout the summer as well, but it's amazing how much they hit it right home, what you're trying to do.
I love that. Yeah. And in light of social media these days, do you think camps have a responsibility to use their social media for to be leaders during this time?
Absolutely. You know, thinking for us, thinking, and for everyone, thinking Black Lives Matter movement, thinking social distancing, thinking the really, I mean, anything COVID related that keeps you safe, it is completely up to camps and our social media to make sure that we're conveying the right messages across those, and not necessarily the right ones, because you, especially with Black Lives Matter movement, you're, the point is not to be right. The point is to learn how to get it right, to get there, but not to be right away. And so for us, that is, I think it is important that we're taking those steps and actually posting on social media about it.
Yeah, I love that. Like, not only is it about, you know, what we do and why we do it, but about helping educate our families and our campers to align with our mission and keep them moving forward and growing forward as well.
And I think there's not a way to be perfect at it. You're never to align 10 people's like beliefs in social distancing in anything perfectly. You know, it's not, but the more we can start making changes, we'll get there.
Yeah, definitely. So I was thinking back a little bit earlier, kind of towards the beginning of our conversation here, you mentioned some family testimonials and a story of a specific family that had some great words with it. What have you, to kind of go with that, what have you learned about your connection to your families and your campers as like an organization or personally as well?
I think there's actually a third category. So families, campers, and alumni. I think one of our largest changes, I think, that we saw this summer, there's probably two. And I think the first one would be alumni. We started hosting a virtual campfire. So we told a story, had a campfire, had pre-recorded songs that we all put together and invited alumni to that along with our current families, and the connections that were built there and how much joy they had in seeing some of the, some things that had, you know, as typical, had never changed. Mm-hmm. Campfire has not changed. It's still, you know, still the tradition that it was, even if it's over Zoom. Seeing those connections, I think this year we have been more strongly connected to our alumni than any year in previous history.
So these last like 8 months have been, you know, up and down, back and forth, here and there. What has been the biggest takeaway for you living through a global pandemic? Let's start with personal this time versus professional.
I think personal, I am very fortunate to be surrounded by the community I have, whether that's work community that feels more personal at times because it's camp, or just the friends I have here. You can't discount your community.
I love that. Community, I think, is just such an important part of camp. And I don't know if it's from listening to a lot of camp code podcasts, and but like community is so important, and that concept of all of us coming together, and it takes a village.
When we look at where we are now, the start of this pandemic seems so long ago, like months and months ago. And it was. Sometimes it feels like years. But if you were to look back to March and April, or even maybe February, and to be able to like step back from it, what piece of advice would you give yourself?
The biggest piece of advice I would give myself is it's okay to not be okay. It's okay. And I think a lot of people probably hopefully give themselves this advice, but it's okay to have those days where 3 nights in a row you're crying on your bed because you don't have an answer. And then it's okay, you know, right now to look and say, man, like, I wish maybe we had tried it, even though that wasn't the right answer for us. I think it's okay that it's, you're just not going to know. And that's hard. It's hard to let go of not having the perfect I'm fine right now. And so I think that would be, if in March I could go back and tell myself, it's okay to not be okay. And it's okay that, as you guys have talked about in previous episodes, that just goes in roller coasters. And it's going to go in roller coasters for your friends and your coworkers and the person who gave you a takeout because you haven't eaten in 3 months. Like, it's just going to be in roller coasters. And I think hopefully one of the silver linings that has come out of this is more people have realized it's okay to share your feelings. It's okay to not be okay. And that's something hopefully I'm learning. Hopefully my advice that I would give myself in March, I'm taking it right now.
I love that. And I love that point of taking it now, because I think we're approaching another pivotal time of transition, mm-hmm. where we've gone through the summer, we've grieved the loss of the summer, and what is next? Because the world is not going back to pre-COVID, quote unquote, normal days in September. That's not how this works. The calendar doesn't flip a page and all of a sudden we have a fresh slate ahead of us. I mean, we do in many ways have a fresh slate ahead of us, but it's in a different world than we're used to. And so I think that advice, that it's okay to not be okay, and that a lot of people are in that same boat, is so important, and that we need to cling to that as we move forwards.
You know, it doesn't just end for us because camp's over and now we can plan for summer 2021, you know, or we have moved on to a different role that looks different and we're not planning for summer 2021, but we're planning for the work we have right at this point. It's okay to still not be okay, even if the summer you're already looking for the next one.
I think this is a great spot for us to wrap up today on it's okay to not be okay as we transition out of summer 2020 and into what lies ahead. And we want to take a moment to thank you, Darby, for joining us today and, you know, sharing these feelings and emotions. I can hear them and they're there and they're hard. can you just also add, how can our guests get in touch with you if they wish to reach out and talk to you?
Absolutely. You can reach me at my Gmail, which is darby.e.dame@gmail.com.
Excellent. Thank you so much. We're going to jump right into our recharge station here. And we believe that self-care is crazy important to all of us. And to have that personal wellness, both through the good times and the not so good times, but that we as camp professionals just were not great at it. And we want to ask all of you to, you know, consider how you charge your batteries and what makes you feel a little bit better every day. Rachel, what do you have for us this week?
This week, it's practicing my boundaries, which I think our good pal Ruby would be very proud of. So boundaries around social media, boundaries around even watching things on Netflix that I'm going to find upsetting or emotional that I just don't have the emotional capacity for. I'm trying to set small boundaries in more parts of my life as we move forward, knowing that we are in this for the long haul, that the emotional drain of the pandemic isn't ending as the summer ends. Darby, how are you taking care of yourself these days?
I'm so glad you asked. I was thinking about this on the car ride home and what I was going to say. The smallest, but I think we will all understand this. The way I'm taking care of myself, and I did it this morning, was I cleaned my bathroom.
Ooh, good.
Those small little chores will just eat at you. And I did it, and I feel so much better.
I love that. I definitely can say I have not been on top of that game this week. Maybe should clean my bathroom. For me this week, it's all about getting that vitamin D as we head into the fall season as well, where the sun starts to go down a little bit earlier. But get outside, take a supplement, check with your doctor first. Of course, make sure you're doing the things that are right for you. We want to thank you all for joining us Beyond Camp. We hope that you found something that enlightened you today as we journey beyond the property lines and bring camp with you. As we wrap up, we want you to be able to reach out and connect with us. You can find me, Cassie, at cassie.bloy@stephanricard.ca. Rachel?
Folks can reach me at kentr@girlguides.ca.
Don't forget to check out our show notes at gocamp.pro/beyondcamp. A final thank you to Darby again for being with us today and sharing her thoughts around summer 2020. To GoCamp Pro for holding space for these conversations. To the team at ACA Illinois for their sponsorship and continued support as well. To Matt, our producer, for continually updating our show notes, making comments, and allowing us to feel empowered to move forward. And to you, our listeners, thank you for listening and spending your afternoons or mornings with us. Beyond Camp is part of the GoCamp Pro podcast network. Check out all our other podcasts at gocamp.pro/podcast. Go well and safely, friends. We'll be here with you next week.
Thanks for tuning into this episode. Beyond Camp is a part of GoCamp Pro and the GoCamp Pro podcast network. Find a podcast for camp professionals of every age and stage at gocamp.pro/podcast. Thanks for listening, friends.
Hey, Camp Pros. We love that our industry is built on sharing. In order to foster that spirit, if you've gotten even one good idea from a GoCamp Pro podcast, masterclass, from the Summer Camp Professionals Group, a conference, or wherever else, we ask that you give credit where credit is due. That way, it'll encourage Camp Pros to keep freely sharing their ideas and make the camp industry as a whole better.